What's up, ladies and gentlemen out there in internet land, and welcome to episode 386 of the Straight Shooters, available wherever podcasts are found. My name is Vaughn Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone of Fox PHL, the gambler and Philly influencer, and we have yet another fantastic show ahead of us here on episode 386. It is not a deep dive. We're talking current nonsense, current events, and the latest happenings around pro wrestling, both on screen and unfortunately some things that have come to light off the screen, behind the scenes. We're going to talk about that, but I got to do my weekly check-in with my main man, Pots and Pans, before we get into that discussion. Nick, how are you doing on this Super Bowl Sunday, my good brother?
We are recording this before the game officially starts, so I don't know. We will upload this as quickly as we can. So if you're listening to this and it's after the Super Bowl, let's just hope that the 49ers lost, because screw the 49ers. That's all I got to say. I'm going at war online with these people. They've been complaining. The whole team been complaining all week. God forbid someone pulls a fire alarm 7 minutes before you wake up. Yes, I know it's annoying. Yes, it's fun to make fun of them for making excuses, even though I would probably be pissed if that happened to me. It's still funny. It's sports. It's funny. Screw the 49ers. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. It was only 7 minutes. I thought it was like 2 hours early. It was only 7 minutes.
I guess I don't know if all the players wake up at the same time, but ESPN story, they said it was seven minutes before their alarm was supposed to go off. It's like,
how does that happen at a Super Bowl hotel? Like, the Super Bowl hotels are for the teams are super secure. Like, everybody who's there is accounted for. Like, you know who they are. They belong there. I remember I went to the team hotel for a media function last year. Like, they had like one of the days we can interview the players and they're sitting at the tables and whatnot. And they had a bus pick everybody up from the media hotel, took everybody to the team hotel, which is like on a resort somewhere outside of Phoenix. We were staying in Phoenix. They were like in the wilderness somewhere. Again, just isolated away from people. So there's no, nonsense that's happening around the teams. And we're on a bus and we pulling in. We had to stop because they had to check our bus. They looking underneath the bus for any potential threats, anything like that. Like, it's super secure. So, like, an accidental fire alarm pull, how did that happen? Was it, like, it just seems like it's in the team hotel?
The police officers are, security.
Bro, they need to. Chiefs fans. That's wild.
But
that's
7 minutes,
pretty wild.
You would think, they would do it at 1 a.m., 2 a.m.,
Right, 7 minutes?
That's what makes me think, like, obviously it was an accident. Like,
right, that's what I'm thinking, too.
But
the sabotage could not be that real. Like, that'd be wild. I feel like somebody was just like sweeping the floor and they just bumped into it or something. Whoops. Sorry. Something like, I don't see how that's a sabotage. Yeah. Like I said, those hotels, they don't mess around, bro. And whoever did that is probably, if you did it on purpose, you're easily risking your job. So did it by accident, you're at least getting like scolded. reprimanded in some way, because you woke up the NFC champions. What's going on?
It's just funny to me, because anything can happen. Like, they complained about the practice field last week or whatever, but any little thing, and whether it's rooted in I understand, it's still funny to make fun of the 49ers, and that's what I'm going to continue to do, because I'm a hater at heart.
You and Drew McIntyre make good friends.
That's right.
He is player hater of the year already.
I said it. I was on the Tough Cover show yesterday on Fox Sports The Gambler with Mark Henry, and I said Drew McIntyre might be the MVP of WWE so far this year.
It's wild how society, we look at a guy like that, and he's being a terrible person, but yet
that's true.
Give Drew McIntyre a year, he might be a baby face.
I prayed for this.
He might be a baby face already.
who expected him to, CM Punk tore his triceps, and who expected Drew McIntyre to come out and be like, I prayed for this to happen? Like, that to me
for
was
nice like this.
That brought him from like one tier to like the top tier, you know, like, I don't think anyone was expecting something like that. Like, and that, I think, changed everybody's perceptions. It was just that one line, because he was already, like, on a roll, but, you know, he had the opportunity to, you know, feel empathy, be like, man, he came back, like, all right, well, I'm just going to take your spot type of thing. But no, the I prayed for this to happen just put it on a whole nother level. It was great.
Yeah, I man, he leaned all the way into the hatred. It's almost refreshing. It's like weird. Like it's really weird. Yeah, so Super Bowl's happening after we record this. So congratulations.
You'll be busy,
or whatever.
You'll be busy, right?
No, this is gonna be a normal day for me.
Okay.
So yeah, I get to actually watch the game, not, you know, have to work, but congratulations.
I will be grabbing the radio streams as much as possible, hoping that I get an opportunity to troll one last time this NFL season.
One last time for the road. But yeah, congratulations to whoever, you know, or whatever, you know, preemptively congrats to whoever it was.
Super Bowl
the winning
58 champions.
Yeah. Damn, 58 of those. Crazy. I just feel like I'm just kind of checked out of the Super Bowl this year. I don't know why. I'm just not feeling it. Watch it turns out to be like the greatest game of all time.
Right.
Like the most exciting, fantastic, dramatic.
Some people
the biggest
have,
Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah, some people have to look for, you know, an angle to have a rooting interest just to feel like they're a part of the game, whether it be sports gambling or just me being a hater of the 49ers.
Or you just want to root for somebody.
Right, right.
Okay, I think a lot of people were trying to root for Detroit or Baltimore.
Right.
We got Kansas City and San Francisco.
Like the one, Baltimore and Detroit would have been a great Super Bowl. And then I would have been able to relax and just enjoy it. But now I have a hate interest that I'm going to be stressed out as much as I would if the Eagles were playing.
And your mentions is going to be stressed out, because if the 49ers win, woo-wee.
Yeah.
Man.
I'll stand on business. I will.
No, you might have to duck and hide, bro. There's no stopping them if they win a Super Bowl. There's nothing you can say. And everybody's brave when they win a Super Bowl. You remember
true.
How it was around here.
Again, you know, people say, oh, remember before the Eagles won? It was always, oh, you got no rings. And now it's like, oh, you only have one ring. It's like, thank you. I remember that. And that was awesome. So I lived through before you got to live through the 49ers.
That's also true. It's been a while for the Niners. They might end it tonight. But it has been a while now. The last time they've been in a couple. That's the thing. They've been in a couple of NFC championships and Super Bowls, unlike the Cowboys. But a lot of people talk about last time the Cowboys won was this year. Last time the Niners won was the year before that.
Right.
So it's a drought. It's a little bit of a drought.
That's what I can hang on to.
I'll give the Niners credit for it. They have at least been to multiple NFC championships and multiple Super Bowls. They lost them, but they have been in the periphery of winning a championship at the very least, where the Cowboys have not. So
that is very true.
I guess if you count the playoffs as a periphery, they've been there, but like, you know, the final four, you know, that's real close.
Exactly.
You know, that's a little bit closer, but we have to shift gears. We have to shift topics here to pro wrestling and the goings on. Again, in and out of the ring. We'll start out of the ring. We'll start behind the scenes with just another chapter, another terrible chapter in the Vince McMahon saga, which came to, just another chapter again was written this week with multiple stories from multiple angles, but a couple of them revolved around the late Ashley Massaro, former WWE superstar from the mid to late 2000s, who, again, passed away in 2019. Unfortunately, so may she rest in peace. But before she passed away, she had apparently given a formal statement to her lawyers that were involved in a concussion lawsuit that was eventually tossed out against WWE. And in that statement, and you know, it's part of her talking to the lawyers in her affidavit, she made an allegation about Vince McMahon and pretty much torpedoing, just ruining her career because she wouldn't acquiesce to his desires, so to speak. And you probably wonder, where did this statement come from? Why wasn't it released back then? Well, it was a part of the concussion lawsuit, and the lawyers didn't deem it to be relevant to the lawsuit that they were pursuing at that point. But obviously things have changed, because there are more lawsuits against Vince McMahon, more allegations that have nothing to do with concussions, far darker in nature than concussions, at least, are the allegations he's been levied against him by multiple women, and including Janelle Grant, which, you know, bombshell lawsuit dropped a couple weeks ago and set off a chain of events that led to Vince McMahon being completely disconnected from WWE. And then again, they left that statement out, but that statement, because of these new allegations, has been released. And in an exclusive story to Vice News, they got the statement from the lawyers, and we're going to read it and see what Ashley Massaro accused Vince McMahon and really WWE as a whole, honestly. And I quote, "During my time with WWE, I had observed Vince McMahon making out with other divas in the locker room, but he never paid attention to me, and I assumed I was not his type." Again, this is from Ashley Massaro. "This changed after my Playboy cover was released. I was fortunate enough to be allowed to fly on a company jet and stay at the same hotels as the executives for a period of time so that I could get home faster to spend more time with my daughter. On one of those occasions, Vince was attempting to get me alone with him in his hotel room late at night, and I felt extraordinarily uncomfortable. He began calling the hotel room phone and my cell phone nonstop." Now, here we go. "I called Kevin Dunn to explain," and she, again, this is mentioning him by name. "I called Kevin Dunn to explain the situation. He said I should tell Vince I was not feeling well and would see him on TV the next day. So I did. Also, Kevin Dunn was in the room when, allegedly in the room when the company was talking her out of bringing allegations to light to the public so it wouldn't ruin the company's reputation with the military." So that same Kevin Dunn, obviously. "Vince started writing my promos for me. So immediately after that night, Vince started writing my promos for me. Vince did not write my promos. Does not write promos for female wrestlers. That is a job of the creative department, and he certainly wouldn't have, under any normal circumstances, written a promo for me. But he did, after the promos were written, with the clear intention of ruining my career." Oh, I read that wrong. I'm sorry. "But he did, and the promos were written with the clear intention of ruining my career. I brought the first script Vince wrote for me to the WWE employee in charge of the creative at the time, Michael Hayes, and he said, 'You're not saying this. Who the expletive wrote this?' You can imagine what he said there. And I told him that Vince did. He said, 'Well, kid, these are the breaks.' Meaning that Vince wanted to end my career and destroy my reputation on my way out. He is known for this type of behavior and also did this to," and there's another wrestler that he apparently did this to that Ashley Massaro mentioned, but the lawyers, to protect her privacy, left her out. And I think Vice left her out. I think Vice made that decision because they reached out for a comment and she did not respond. So they left her name out to protect her privacy. Good decision by Vice. But he also did this to Redacted upon her departure from WWE. In addition, after that night, each time I walked by him, he would make vulgar sexual comments that were clearly designed to make me uncomfortable." So that is the statement that was obtained by Vice News exclusively from Ashley Massaro's lawyers, the late Ashley Massaro. And just another log on the flame that's burning up Vince McMahon right now. You have any thoughts, Nick?
Yeah. We had heard about, you know, these allegations before. And again, I mentioned it last week or a couple weeks ago. There's something to when you're given a tangible thing to read from the victims themselves, And unfortunately, that our Ashley Bizarro is not with us anymore. Rest in peace. Knowing that this was part of a lawsuit, but eventually left out because it wasn't pertinent to the concussion nature of the lawsuit, where she gave this statement, just kind of hammers home, like, you know, the different priorities in that company that was always, and the lawyers that were trying to litigate that company, knowing that maybe if they leave this out, you know, they would have a better shot at, you know, they don't want, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not, but I've read a lot of these things, and it almost seems like they left it out because they thought they would have a better shot at proving WWE's guilt when it comes to concussions. I feel like if they left it in, they would think a jury or other lawyers would think that they're unfairly targeting WWE as a company that has nothing to do with concussions and stuff like that. And just it makes sense to me why they left it out, but it's also like kind of heartbreaking that they had to leave it out as well. And we know that, you know, Ashley Bizarro died by suicide, and this probably has a lot to do with it. And knowing that it's clearly company culture, right? I mean, Vince McMahon was not the only one who knew what Vince McMahon was doing. It's heartbreaking to read this stuff, but it's important to read this stuff, and it's important that we continue, you know, and respect the privacy of alleged victims. You know, there may be a lot more that are not comfortable coming forward because they themselves perhaps have moved on and are happy with their current life, and that takes a ton of strength. I do know sexual assault survivors that have been able to move on and just want to focus on their current life and their future. And that is not easy. That is not easy at all. But you have to respect those that want to go that route. So whenever somebody says, oh, why didn't this come out, you know, back then? You know, I can't take those people seriously because they clearly do not understand the ramifications that go into something like this happening, something like the strength it took Janelle Grant to file this lawsuit that will probably lead down a trail of many others. And it's not easy. I hate when I see people be like, oh, well, why didn't she say something before? Well, she clearly did, and they clearly didn't want her to. And she has to make a decision not only for her, but her family as well. You know, unless you're in that position, you can't speak to it. You just can't. So, you know, this is another important step in just this whole Vince McMahon, WWE, corporate structure, culture that, like, who we can we assume that a lot of the high executives knew something? I mean, that's a safe assumption to make. It's like, it's almost like they have to prove us wrong that they didn't know, in a way, because a company like that, I just don't know how you can only have like one person or two people know about this. You know, like,
according to John Laurinaitis, they were made aware of. I'm not so sure of the specific allegations that they were aware of, but they were aware of something.
Yeah.
You know, that came out recently as well. That they were aware of something. I'm misremembering right now which specific allegations he said that they were aware of. Throwing Vince right under the bus, rightfully so. But yeah, it's clear that at least according to John Laurinaitis, someone knew.
How many other shoes are gonna drop?
Oh, it's gonna be many more. Obviously, it's gonna be many more. Especially, you know, if NDAs start getting overturned and stuff like that, right, there could be much more.
It's possible we don't have as many statements or stories because of NDAs.
Well, I would assume so. I would assume that's the case at the moment, but that could change, obviously. I do find it, you know, obviously the wildest part of, you know, Ashley Bizarro's allegations are the way, you know, Vince was treating her and how she is victimized, you know, according to her, right? I do find it also wild that Michael Hayes and I guess everybody else just accepted, like, okay, well, Vince is writing you garbage. Sorry, kid. And even Michael Hayes is like, this is terrible. Who wrote this? Oh, he did? Well, and it's just like,
change the scene real quick.
It's so bizarre. Oh, well, that's how it is. It's so bizarre. Obviously, again, obviously, that's you know, we're not overshadowing the real meat of the allegations here, which is, you know, the sexual impropriety and sexual assaults and harassment that, you know, Ashley Mazzaro alleged Vince to have done. But it's just, man, it's just wild. It's just wild stuff to think about. But yeah, unfortunately, it's still ongoing. It's not going to end anytime soon, I don't believe.
No matter what, you know, I know it's WrestleMania season, and I mentioned it before. That's not going to take this out of the headlines. No matter what they do, it's not going to keep this out of the headlines.
No matter what Triple H, all the positive stuff Triple H wants to talk about. Sorry, pal. This is how it's going to be for a little while. You got to buckle in. People, and again, people might lose their jobs too. Mm-hmm. This is what might have to happen, bro. Dems be the breaks, like Michael Hayes said. Dems be the breaks sometimes when you allow this to happen. Now, granted, again, that's not to absolve Vince from what he was doing, because Vince is, again, the catalyst for all of it.
He instilled created that culture.
That culture. He installed it. He created it, right? He installed it in. So, you know, obviously we're not going to, you know, we can put the blame on people for knowing, and I'll put the blame on them, and then they'll receive whatever they got coming to them, they'll get it and they'll deserve it. But it's still tough, because I know, like, I'm willing to bet for the most part, they're still operating out of fear.
Yeah.
Like Michael Hayes. Well, he wrote it. Then that's going to how it's going to be. You think Michael Hayes going to go to Vince and be like, yo, this is garbage. She's not saying this. You're going to ruin her. And Michael Hayes actively knew this is not going to do well for Ashley Mazzaro. Mm-hmm. At least according to that statement. And it was just accepted. Well, tough luck.
There it is. Yeah. That's what you got into. Sucks, man. That's their excuse. That's what you got into. Like, that you knew sucks. What you were getting into. No, I don't think anybody knows
nobody,
what you're getting into.
Nobody knows that. I mean, again, that's a TV. You watch him on TV, you're like, okay, there's no way he's that terrible in real life.
Right.
And apparently he was. The stuff that he was doing on TV was mirroring what was happening backstage. And you'd see that clip that's been circulating of Ashley Mazzaro spilling the coffee on Vince. And apparently that was a real life thing that they were reenacting. And he was humiliating her again, this time in front of millions of people. Just to do it, like.
Yeah, and for years people were like, oh, like the Mr. McMahon character is just Vince, you know, turned up 100 degrees or something like that, or turned up to 100. I don't know why I said degrees, but you know what I meant. And it's just like people kind of took it. It was like,
it's getting hot.
Okay. Right? Like people just kind of took it like, okay, yeah. And you said it like, yeah, he can't be that bad in real life because this is like crazy. And he was worse, which is. You know, it's again, it's different when you have tangible evidence to read statements from women, whether, you know, there's redactions or not, you know that there's a lot more out there that we still don't know. And, you know, there might not even be, there might not even be women that have NDAs that they just don't want to talk because they want to move past it. Again, like that's their prerogative. We don't get to question the women who stay away from this stuff versus those who pursue it. We don't get to question them. They are the ones that have to deal with it. They are the ones that have to decide what's best for them. And for some that might be coming forward, and for others, it's just moving on and trying to put that portion of their life behind them, and they have every right to choose what they want to do. So we, as a society, and I think we're coming around a little bit. There's more people that are empathetic to listening and respecting women's decisions when it comes to stuff like this. We can't just question, you know, their motives and that be it. You know, like, you want to look at the whole picture, and it's not like Vince McMahon just has one allegation against him. So we definitely haven't heard the last of stuff like this, for sure.
My mic muted. There we go. No, we have not heard the last of this whatsoever, unfortunately. And then, you know, again, it's coming from all angles, this saga.
Yeah, go ahead. I actually, you know, people think about, oh, like, women this, women that. Bret Hart, biggest proponent of Vince McMahon before he got screwed, right? He looked at him as a father figure. He loved the guy. He had an interview with Slate recently, and it dropped, you know, just a few days ago. And this quote from him right at the very end just kind of hammers home for a lot of us. But Bret Hart, quote, "I think despite all the issues I ever had with Vince, I know deep down I always respected him. But now, knowing what kind of a weirdo he became, I have absolutely zero respect for him. I do not think I could ever shake his hand if he extended it. Too creepy," end quote. And that's Bret Hart, who let bygones be bygones and came back because he wanted to, you know, his wrestling career is very important to him, and he didn't want to allow Vince to dictate how that ended. So, you know, he swallowed a lot of pride to come back into the fold in 2005. You know, he really did. And just for, you know, 2005, I say, because of his DVD and stuff like that, eventually come back on screen and be in a WWE ring for the first time in 2010. First time in, you know, what, 13 years? So, you know, that's, I think that tells a lot, a quote like that from Bret Hart, one of the greatest of all time, that looked at Vince like a father figure. I think that tells it all.
But to put a button on Bret Hart,
a button,
he's always honest. I mean, a bow, a button, whatever, but he usually doesn't hold his punches, that Bret Hart.
No.
He did. That's not, what I love once about again, him. Vince.
Like, what does he have to lose at this point? Like, his wrestling Nothing. Career is well, like, it's exactly how it seemed like he wanted to be remembered. One of the greatest of all time. One of my favorite wrestlers. He brought me around. I hated him like 7 years ago when we started this podcast, but now he's one my favorite alongside Randy Savage. My two favorites of all time. And again, he doesn't have a wrestling home. You know, like he was in WWE, like, criticizing them. And then he showed up the first AEW pay-per-view with the title, but he never really technically signed with them, and he criticizes them. Like, he sticks to his guns, man. I love that about Bret. I really do.
And he's uniquely qualified to talk about Vince. He knows him, and exactly. He already didn't like him.
Exactly. It's not like he's just somebody that you don't have to listen to. Like, his words hold weight because of his experiences.
100%. But I'm not surprised Bret took that stance. He already didn't like Vince. I mean, yeah, he tolerated him. Yeah, you know, you gave me a job, and you know, you paid me, so that's cool. But really, I don't like him. I'm sure he still holds a grudge from 97, and of course 99. So yeah, I'm not surprised Bret was like, man, I knew I didn't like him. There's a reason why I didn't like him.
It's almost like he's vindicated in a way,
right?
Like, y'all was telling me, he's not playing that up. He's not like, see, what did I tell you?
I know he's not. Because he also forgave Vince. He also went back and got back into good graces. But
again, that was the only thing he could do if he wanted his story told. If he, I know it's going to sound corny as hell, but he finished his story kind of the way he wanted his career finished story to tell. What the hell did I just say? He
I don't know.
His.
You kind of had a malfunction there.
He wanted to wrap a button on his career.
Wrap a button.
Wrap a bow on his career. And that's really the only way he could do it, right? By WWE was the only, he couldn't do it in TNA.
By having a terrible match with Vince McMahon.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't want to remember that. I remember the DVD. I don't want to remember anything after that.
Real bad. Real bad. Moving on from that, we got to touch on a big shakeup in TNA wrestling.
Speaking of TNA.
Oh, man, that was in poor taste. Oh, you mentioned TNA. Okay, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought you were referencing something else.
Not at all.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, you did mention TNA. I forgot about that already. Yeah. But speaking of TNA, as we make the awkward transition from our last topic into TNA wrestling, there's a shakeup at the top. As Scott D'Amore is out immediately. Contract was terminated.
Wild.
And apparently, not like he did something and got in trouble, ran afoul, something like that. As you know, when somebody's contract gets terminated immediately, you instantly go, what did he do? What happened?
Exactly. Exactly.
What's gonna come out? Apparently it was just budget cuts. And the budget cuts came at the expense of the guy who was like running the show and who everybody loved backstage, apparently. Like, because according to social media, at least, where I saw multiple wrestlers paying tribute, paying homage to Scott D'Amore, which I was not expecting. I don't know it. You know, we don't know him personally. We don't know what the backstage dynamics are like, you know, in TNA. We're not back there. But from what I saw, at least on my own personal timeline, it seemed like the guy was beloved. And he will be greatly missed. So I'm just not understanding what's behind this decision. Where you're saving money, but it seems like you're hurting the morale of the locker room at the same time. But obviously, it's a bottom line business. You got to do what you got to do in some cases. But like, man, this seems like an odd decision and odd timing, given they just relaunched his brand and felt like they got some momentum, you know, on their own momentum. You know, with their own shows, their own product. And then they have their women's champion appear in the Royal Rumble and interact with somebody who was the former world champ, their former world champion, and Naomi.
So who was made to look strong in the Royal Rumble, by the way.
Right. She looked great. She looked like Jordan Grace, I should say. Not she. Jordan Grace looked like she belonged. Right. It didn't feel out of place. And I'd say that somebody would from TNA, something like that. It's just she's never been on that big of a stage. And I didn't see any jitters. I didn't see like any like missteps. She looked like an eight, like you said, they put her over. It's just the timing seems kind of odd. I don't know what's going on, other than apparently budget cuts. I don't know. I'm not sure if I understand the logic behind the decision. They must be really hard up for cash if you make that type of decision.
And why do it when TNA is on the come up, you know, like they said, they have momentum and the timing is just so strange. They literally just rebranded last month. The momentum they had was actually like good momentum. It's like,
right. And stuff that they did, you know, on their own. It wasn't like,
exactly.
It wasn't like even the rebrand, wasn't it? The product itself is getting buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. And, even in Impact Wrestling, it was, you know, I remember like a year ago, I was into it because it was easy to follow. It was like pro wrestling kind of being pro wrestling. It was pro wrestling minus sports entertainment type stuff. And yes, there's still, you know, in mainstream wrestling, you still have those sports entertainment things going on. But Impact to me always felt like the mainstream pro wrestling. It was televised every week on a channel that, you know, maybe not a lot of people knew how to get, but I did, so it was easy for me to tune in. Knowing that you bring in Dolph Ziggler, you bring it, you change the ropes to yellow, like they had a lot of good things going for them.
Look, I know you're happy about that.
Oh, hell yeah, you know, change it up a little bit. You know, AEW stole the red ropes on Saturday night, so now, you know, and NXT doesn't have the yellow ropes anymore, so
there's so many other colors to choose from. You can be
the yellow looks cool.
Black ropes. You can do
Black ropes is nice too. White ropes is
I guess on WWE. I guess TNA wouldn't do yellow or blue ropes, I should say. The colors are red and yellow, but
yeah, I'm not a fan
of blue for ropes. Any or show.
Green ropes they used to have.
Who had green ropes?
They used to, yeah. I don't
know.
There was like green TNA when they had like the six-sided ring.
Like red ropes.
It was like Global Force. It was like a holdover of Global Force. And then
I think I checked out during the Global Force time.
Don't ask me why I remember that.
I think I checked out during the
Global Force time. I only tuned in for the color of the ropes. That's it. Then I tuned out. But it does seem like...
So you tuned in just to see the ropes and that was it?
Yeah, that was it. And they weren't green anymore. I was like, oh, I tuned in for a little bit longer. But it was. It seems like from the report from PW Insider, Mike Johnson seems to have the most information about this. Damore kind of saw it coming, and he actually approached Anthem with an offer to buy TNA Wrestling himself. And obviously, that was not. He was backed with a letter from a major banking institution. Quote unquote. So,
okay.
But Anthem turned him down. So yeah, then they got rid of him. I'm just not sure how. Like, he's the reason for all the momentum, you know. So,
well, at least he's part of it, right? He's at least part of it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
he's leading it.
Again, we don't know, but if he's the leader, we can just say things like, "Oh, he's the reason." But you know, there's probably
he's leading the way. We don't know,
right?
You know exactly everything he does, and I'm sure they have a team of people, but like. He's when you think of the executive, team and the team behind TNA, it starts with Scott Damore. So at the very least, he's leading the way.
Yeah. So we'll see how they move forward. I remember reading something about talents being, if they wanted their releases to approach Anthem leadership, but then somebody said that wasn't the case. So, like, I gotta imagine a lot of people. What does Nick Nemeth think? Nemeth.
I'm pretty sure it's Nemeth.
Yeah, it's Nemeth. I always say Nemeth, mean to say Nemeth. But I've been reading it since he was in the Spirit Squad as Nick Nemeth, and it just won't get out of my brain. But sorry, Dolph. And
sorry, Dolph. That's not even his real name.
Why did he get rid of the K in Nick? Like, it's just NIC. It's kind of an affront to me personally.
Maybe he's a Nicholas with a CH. So he goes
I'm a Nicholas with a CH. So.
Oh, well, I guess it's a matter of personal choice.
What the heck, man? Three letters instead of four. Couldn't write the extra letter growing up. Like, what the hell, man?
It's like Rick,
Nick. That's true. But Flair? It doesn't have the same flavor. I don't know. Rick looks cooler than Nick. Without the K, so I will say that. But yeah, so we'll see, how it moves forward. But I think that took everybody by surprise. Again, the suddenness of it, and you said it, when something that sudden, occurs, you're like, oh no, like you kind of go like, wait, what are they doing? Wait a second, what did he do something? And you just kind of go in a million directions, and we still haven't gotten like a flat out answer. So it's more of reporting. It's not Anthem confirming anything or Scott Damore confirming anything. It's just reports. So
I don't expect Anthem to come out and be like, we ain't got no money, y'all, so we had to cut somebody. We need that money. We trying to save.
The reason was they wanted more control of TNA, like in their entertainment wing and kind of, use resources or some BS, some corporate BS speak type stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I hope this doesn't derail TNA's momentum. Hopefully they have.
I hope not. I hope not either.
The systems and the processes in place that they can pick up where they left off and they can seamlessly transition to a new regime. But as of right now, it's just like, whoa, it's kind of blindsiding a lot of people who, like, again, who just, kind of got back on that TNA bandwagon a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like they were looking at a little bit, not like they're going to start selling out stadiums, stuff like that, and get back to the days of 2005 when they were the number two company in the country at that point. But a bump, it looked like they was about to, you know, get a little bit of a surge. Mm-hmm. And that's great. If there can be not just two companies that can, you know, not like, again, not selling out stadiums, stuff like that. You don't have to sell out stadiums to be a quality company. You can put 500 people in the building. You can put 1,000 people in the building. And if long as that is commensurate to your budgets and your expenditures, that's fine. But if there can be three of those where people can make a decent living and wrestle in front of a decent amount of people and nice venues and, a regular touring schedule and shows that are of consequence and people want to see, I think that's good for wrestling fans to have better wrestling on, you know, multiple platforms and on a higher level. And it helps the business overall, because if the better you do, now you open yourself up to TV and something can happen there. And we already got the NWA, or at least a high level of TV, like TNA is on TV, but like a different, you know, a higher level, more potentially more households, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, NWA on CW's app now. We got, of course, we got AEW and WWE. But if TNA can, you know, increase its profile and kind of rebound from the valleys it was in, you know, 5-6 years ago, that'd be dope, man. But yeah, this was a head scratcher for sure. It was a head scratcher. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see. But the last thing we'll discuss on episode 386.
Last but not least.
We're going to talk about the WrestleMania kickoff and how it pertains to the WrestleMania main event, which, of course, WrestleMania is in Philadelphia this year. WrestleMania 40, Lincoln Financial Field in South Philadelphia. Come holla at us. We're in the city. But in case you missed it, I'm sure everybody watched it. It's the most watched press conference / E3 presentation / wrestling angle that I've ever seen. But of course, The Rock comes out. Well, not
why
just
in
The Rock.
Vegas? Was it because of the Super Bowl? Because I thought they were going to announce WrestleMania in Vegas, and they didn't. So
same. It would have made sense, and it's not like it would have been a wild thing. I don't blame anybody for making that assumption. I myself made that same assumption that it was going to get announced that WrestleMania is going to be in Las Vegas next year, WrestleMania 41.
I don't mean to cut you off, and I thought about this. I don't want to forget it. You have to set that up well in advance, right? Like with as much media that's going to be there, and nobody knew about it until last Friday. Because that's when they first put the graphic on. Like, nobody mentioned they were going to have that. So, like,
it is moving kind of fast. You know? It's moving kind of fast. But, and also, I will say this too. I feel like it's around this time where they do announce the venue for next year's WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I can look up when we found out about Philly.
It was in the summer. I believe it was in the summer.
In the summer? I thought it was much earlier than that. You sure?
Like, the summer of 2022.
I'm surprised it was in the summer. Honestly,
I think you tipped me off.
Oh, I gotta see this. I gotta look this up now.
Yeah, I feel like it was in July. That's my final answer.
That's your final answer? Now we're gonna do this live on the air.
Well, the Inquirer broke it, so
that is true.
You're finding that article, I guarantee it's in July.
You're right. July 2022.
Oh, I just knew where I was when you told me. That's why I knew exactly where I was, and I put two and two together. I'm like, it was in the summer because I remember where I was.
Man, I thought it was earlier. I thought they usually announce it around WrestleMania time. So I guess we'll find out in the summer again.
This was in 2022. So this is
So they haven't announced 2020
years ahead of time.
That's wild.
Yeah, they haven't announced 25 yet.
I wonder what the holdup is. Right. That's very interesting. Because by this point, we would know. Yeah, something's going on there. What are they waiting for?
Right?
Who are they waiting for?
It makes me think maybe they were right about it being all this being planned out the last couple weeks. I don't know.
August?
No, like all this.
What we've witnessed
on TV.
I mean, it seemed like
from the Rumble to SmackDown to Thursday night.
Well,
maybe it was a long game this whole time.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that. I don't believe that. I don't know about this long game nonsense.
I'm more willing to believe it's a pivot than
Let's get to what happened, right? Thursday, they had the WrestleMania kickoff. The Rock comes out on stage with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. They're all out there, but The Rock comes out first. Well, not first. Seth Rollins comes out. He talks. Nobody cares about him and his title. Once Roman Reigns comes out, and then he says, I'm challenging The Rock. And then The Rock comes out and says, I don't care what the Cody crybabies, which is such a terrible term.
Which he coined earlier that day.
Pat McAfee. But he always do like these little sayings, and it never catches on like that. I guess maybe this one will because it's about Cody Rhodes and people love Cody Rhodes. But the other ones, I don't know. But he's got the Cody crybabies now, and he's like, I don't care what you say. This match is important. Me and Roman going to do this because we are it. All right. Then he says, I got visual proof of why we them guys. Look at my family tree, y'all. And of course, that turned into prime meme material because the screen is huge, so you can just replace it with anything. And the things that people have replaced the family tree graphic with is wild. But he shows off the family tree, and no one has a reaction. Also, The Rock is getting, at best, a tepid response from the fans. At best, tepid. And at worst, he was outright booed at times. So, and he's standing there soaking in like, man, they really don't like me. But of course, they're going in a different direction now. But he gets out there, he shows off the family tree. Nobody cares. Cody comes out and says, I'm challenging Roman, and y'all family, y'all ancestors will be ashamed. And that's when things changed, okay? The mood in the room changed, okay? Because the look on the Rock's face and Roman's face, too.
The angle they did was incredible because Roman, his face at first was great. And then they do the pan out where Roman and Cody are staring at each other. And you see The Rock slowly come in the screen.
Creep in. You know, talk about my family. And of course, The Rock doesn't, you know, like anybody talking about his family. And it makes sense that The Rock and Roman Reigns are both offended by this because family is very much a part of their characters. Of course, The Rock always talks about his heritage. He never shied away from that. And how, remember when he first debuted in 96, that was his character. He was a third generation wrestler. That's what you knew about him. And that was it. All right. And of course, Roman Reigns, his entire character is about supporting his family and surrounding himself with his family and continuing the family dynasty, the family business. Right. So The Rock comes up and he slaps the taste out of Cody Rhodes' mouth. Bow, right across the face. Right. And they start, they get into a scuffle and things, it gets broken up. It's kind of wild. Then backstage, Triple H is like, man, people wilding out there. You see that? It's going down. And then The Rock and Roman Reigns come by together on this, like walking side by side. And The Rock cusses up a storm. Okay. Said, don't let him talk stuff about our family. He's out of line. If he does it again, I'm going to slap him again. Watch what happened. He said, if you don't fix it, Triple H, we will. And he pointed to him and Roman Reigns. I wrote a column about this the day after it happened. So Friday. A lot of questions. A lot more questions than answers coming out of this. And of course, we got SmackDown the next day. No update. I mean, The Rock and Roman Reigns will be on next week's edition of SmackDown. So I guess we'll get some updates then as to what the hell is going on here, Nick. What did you make of all of this?
Hey, they grabbed us, you know, like a week ago. We're just like, what the hell? What the hell is Cody doing? And I don't want to give them too much credit because even though it's not a Vince production anymore, this is exactly something that I could see Vince doing with the convoluted storytelling. But
so convoluted.
Devil's advocate, if this was the story, the plan the whole time.
No, there's no way. Go ahead. I'm sorry. There's no way.
There's no way a 3-month story can tell Roman versus The Rock either. And that's where I kind of come back to, because we're not going back to 2015 Royal Rumble. They're not telling that story. They're not telling the story of Young Rock episodes where he says, oh, the only place a Roman versus Rock match could happen is WrestleMania. Nobody's paying attention to any of that. They're paying attention to WWE TV, Raw, SmackDown, and the premium live events, the pay-per-views, for anyone that hates the term premium live events.
That's what they are. They're not pay-per-views anymore. This is what it is.
Yeah. They tell you tell the Rock versus Roman story on WWE TV for a year. Aligning them, and I'm not saying it's absolutely the plan all along, but perhaps they had a plan to pivot, because I don't think those people just thought that the audience would accept Cody just backing out after winning the Rumble and giving his spot to the Rock. I can't imagine.
So why did they do it? You think they purposely caused that outrage would make the Rock look bad and get him people diving into his mentions and his daughter's mentions, and she's like off social media now?
Yeah, that's obviously
too far. That'd be wild if that was intentional.
But right away, they never announced the official match. Once they put up the graphic, I thought, oh, crap. But then I looked at it. It was like WrestleMania kickoff press conference. And it's like, oh, that's where they're going to announce the match. But they didn't announce anything. And the verbiage they used left room for interpretation. Cody, right away, I think the next day, posted, like, just, you know, wait, you know, or something like that. Just thanks for your support, but just wait. You know, like, trust me or something like that. Or trust, you know, trust the process, right? He said something similar to that, I think. Maybe it was trust me. I don't know. But if you tell the story, and I'm not saying this is where they're going to go, and I'm not saying people have to accept it. I'm not saying people have to like it just because of the convoluted nature of what the last week and a half has been. But if you tell the story that The Rock tricked Cody into giving up his spot, somehow, they still haven't said that, by the way. I think that's what's missing from all this. Like, what did he say to Cody to make him give up a spot? And you try not to make Cody look like a weak geek in all this for giving up a spot. You have to come up with something, right? And I don't think we probably haven't seen that yet. And you have The Rock trick him into giving up a spot because he wants the family main event. He said during the press conference, there's only one royal family. The Rock said that. So obviously it plays into Cody's family as well. Do you tell a story of The Rock is really the person that people think Roman Reigns has been the last 3 years? The Rock's been the one calling the shots for his family. It hasn't been Roman.
And that'd be wild.
You saw like The Rock kind of take the lead at the press conference. Like Roman was kind of following his lead.
He kind of big bro Roman Reigns there, which is not, I don't know if that's a good thing, honestly.
See, but that's where I think you can, The Rock versus Roman winds up being heel Rock versus face Roman. And I'm not saying, like, again, I'm not saying people have to accept it or think it's even a good story to tell, but that's the only thing that makes sense to me coming out of this, because why create a situation where you have to pivot if, you know, that, I guess, I don't want to say it was the plan the whole time, but like The Rock said before, he doesn't want to come back to just come back, right? He wants something he can sink his teeth into. And I don't know if that's a direct quote, but I keep coming back to the idea that he's only coming back when he can sink his teeth into something. And this is a story that seems to me he can sink his teeth into, to where even as a heel, and he loves that, by the way. You notice after, you know, when Michael Cole and CM Punk and Big E were talking or whatever, they showed The Rock on stage and they had a close up of him, and he showed his forearm again and he slapped it because he had the goosebumps. He did the same thing when he came out to face Roman at SmackDown last week. The same thing, like he's feeling the goosebumps. He knows they probably have, you know, fans, you know, like that. That's what I took from it, because you go back and watch the end of the press conference. He puts his forearm, the camera, it's really quick, and he slaps his forearm, you know, like the goosebumps. Like he does that all the time now. And I feel like that's part of it. Like he's like, oh yeah, we got him. So,
oh man, I don't know.
You tell a story of The Rock really being the one, and then Jimmy, maybe, I don't know if Jay fits into this anymore, but Jimmy and Solo start taking orders from The Rock, and Roman's kind of like, what the hell? And you somehow, I don't know how, but you build Roman as like, you get sympathy behind him. He becomes a sympathetic character, turning him babyface. And then he eventually meets Rock to become head of the... And I think... I don't see how like a heel could be the head of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be a babyface. And I think a babyface Roman, like, people being behind him and being like, no, he has to beat The Rock to be like the head of the bloodline stuff. That's the type of story they could tell with The Rock coming back and sinking his teeth into a story like that is something I can buy. It's something that you could sell me on. Other than that, I don't know what else could.
That's so convoluted. There's no way you plan for it to be this confusing. I just don't envision it.
It's not even been 2 weeks since the Royal Rumble, though. So.
But why have him give away the spot?
It has been two weeks, but
I can see if The Rock and Roman Reigns just went rogue and Cody had nothing to do with them saying, we're doing this match. And that's it. Now I can buy that. But they had Cody go out there, not only win the Rumble, so he has the choice. We all know how this works. Then he goes out there and says, I'm going to get Roman Reigns, but not at WrestleMania. And then The Rock comes out.
That lives in my head, too, that line.
That doesn't say to me this was the plan. He goes, Cody goes from shaking hands with The Rock and like, yeah, you know. Because he gave him the match. Now he's mad about giving him the match. Now he's like, no, this is BS.
Because
like,
because The Rock turned on him. Like, exactly.
How could The Rock trick him? It's like, behind door number one, you main event WrestleMania. Behind door number two, you don't.
Where's this window here? You still get your shot down the line, but like for WrestleMania, I need to face Roman.
No, you don't. My spot, Rock.
He explains to him the importance of family. And nobody knows the importance of family more than Cody. So Cody bought it?
Well, you can't have Cody buy that. We can't have Cody go out like a sucker.
But again, I agree with you, but we have to see that. If they don't address that, then you don't do Cody any favors.
I think you do have to address how we got here. I agree with you. I just think that the way we started doesn't indicate to me that this was the plan the entire time.
And I don't disagree with the people who think that. I'm just trying to make sense of what we've been given at this.
You don't have to make sense of it, bro. I'm saying it's an illogical situation.
I'm way too invested. WrestleMania is in Philly. I'm way too invested in this crap.
WWE would probably like you to forget the fact that Cody came out and gave away the match, honestly, because it makes no sense given the direction we're going now. When Cody comes out, the first thing he says at this kickoff event is, that's BS.
No, it's not.
This is the stuff. This is what you let happen. You said that you were cool with this less than a week ago.
Again, because he thought he was doing someone else a favor, but he realizes, the people that tricked him are not good people. The Rock already announced that he's a heel. Like I know there was a thing on Twitter, some guy posted a video of the press conference and saying the crowd is chanting for Maui because The Rock didn't give money to the victims of.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know about that. That's nuts. I don't know nothing about that, honestly. I've heard, I saw people talking about it, but I don't know the specifics behind it. Yeah, so I can't really comment on it. But if it's something, that sounds kind of nuts, though, from what I heard.
The source absolutely is nuts. So The Rock actually responded to it and was like, let me explain what happened. And he's like, he mentioned like they were at a press conference and I turned heel, aka I was the bad guy. So they were chanting against me type thing. So he even said on Twitter, literally the words, I turned heel. So
he said that.
He did. And again, it could be a pivot. I mean, they could have easily been like, The Rock could have easily just been like, I'm not going. Obviously, our main event's not going to have a great audience. The audience is probably going to take it over. So I'll just turn heel and we'll do that. I could absolutely see that being the case.
The Rock didn't want to play a villain outside of Black Adam, bro. That's it. Like, The Rock is not here to be a villain. He's the people's champ. He's not the corporate champ. He's still supposed to be the people's champ. That's not a bad guy. Now he is. Yeah. Now he is. Granted, but now he is, apparently.
He's saying he's a bad guy, or he's saying he's the people's champ, but he's not. Cody is.
I'm just saying that he's not coming into a situation looking to be the bad guy. He's coming into a situation looking to be cheered and, break box office records, unless people just force him to be that, which was what happened back in 97. And it happened really in 02 and 03 when he left WWF the last time. When he lost to Brock, people turned on him then. And he had to flip heel again. This is like the third time he's had to do this. The Rock is like, come on, bro. What I got to do to earn y'all love? I'm the people's champ, right? Y'all always forget every 20 years. Every couple of years, like, they forget.
Is it better for Roman? Because you're not going to replace The Rock, obviously, but like, he's 51, right? Like, he's not going to wrestle a lot anymore. This might be his final match or two or three, if he sticks around for a year into next WrestleMania. My idea as of now is Cody beats Roman Mania, Cody beats The Rock at SummerSlam, and they spin off The Rock and Roman to WrestleMania next year. That's Cody and Rock. My timeline of the idea that I think they're trying to do right now. But isn't it better for Roman to beat The Rock in that match as a babyface to become like the head of the table for that family? I think it is. So I don't necessarily think The Rock thought he was coming into this hero's reception. I'm not convinced. I'll say that.
You're not convinced.
I'm convinced. Also not convinced that this wasn't a pivot. I could be bought both ways.
I'm convinced that it was a pivot. Sean Ross Sapp also said that, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp, friend of the show, where somebody said that, let the story play out, just let the story play out. And he said, LOL, that was not the original story. So what we saw on Thursday apparently was not the original story. And again, the evidence just bears that out. That's not just based off of inside reporting here by Sean Ross Sapp. That's also what we've seen. It just doesn't make any sense. And I wrote this after it happened on USA Today. Check me out, wrestlingjunkie.usatoday.com. But after the whole SmackDown thing happened, I wrote that one of the hallmarks of Triple H and his teams, one of the hallmarks of their booking is just plain old logic. Like, things have to make sense. The decisions that the wrestlers make have to make sense. And generally, they do. Maybe there's some missteps along the way that I'm sure you can point out what they did here didn't make sense. But for the most part, the wrestlers make logical decisions. That's part of why I think the product has improved so much, because people aren't as dumb as it used to be on WWE TV, right? Babyfaces and heels make smart decisions. Mm-hmm. What Cody did didn't make sense at the time, even before this happened on the kickoff event. What sense would it make for him to step aside, regardless of all the family and all this? That's his spot. That'd be like Patrick Mahomes saying, like, yo, who the backup to the Chiefs? Oh, you can go play. You got it. Or Tom Brady wants one more game. So, all right, well, I guess Pat, you got to step aside because Tom Brady wants to throw. And Patrick goes, all right, yeah, I've led the team into every game this season and won a lot of them. And I'm here again. But Tom, you got this one, man, because you deserve it, Tom. You deserve your eighth ring. Because that's what this pretty much is for The Rock. You don't need another WrestleMania main event. Here's your eighth ring.
That wouldn't make any sense,
would it? Patrick Mahomes, like, get out of here, Tom. This is my spot. This is my squad.
The Rock being like, hey, like, now I'm on the board. They're kind of playing that up a little bit. I'm on the board. Let me get this match, and you'll get yours down the road. Again, that's not a good enough excuse for Cody to give it up. There's got to be something else to play that we don't know yet. But again, I just don't think 3 months to build Rock versus Roman is enough.
I think it would have been two months.
It would have been 2 months, actually.
I don't think that would have been a wild thing. I think that they thought that they were going to have, and I think that's part of why this Vegas event happened, a mega match on their hands.
It makes sense. And again,
And you wait. One way to sell that mega match is to start it off in Vegas with a big old event and have The Rock cut promos and Roman Reigns do his thing and check us out in Philly.
But it's almost right away. They were like, all right, just stay tuned. You know, like the next day they were like, stay tuned. Like, so it's all.
I don't know. It made no sense again at the time. It doesn't make any sense now. And that's why I just feel like it can't be what they mapped out. Also, I don't think Cody's decision to step aside was something that was a thing that they thought of. They wouldn't have had to win the Royal Rumble if they thought that The Rock was going to be there and challenge Roman Reigns. There's no way. If anything, they were hedging their bets by having Cody win the Rumble just in case The Rock maybe didn't show up. But at least we got Cody, and we know we got Cody locked in. They could have Punk win. Fortunately, they didn't because he's hurt.
Yeah, right.
But I can't buy it. I can't buy that it was the long game. This was part of the long game. I'm sure this is now.
He said he's a long gamer.
I'm sure that this is now still. There's still a long game at play here. They're not ending it at WrestleMania, I don't think. But I don't think what we're seeing now was originally a part of that long game.
And I don't think you're wrong to think that. It still smells like a pivot to me. I'm going to say that. Until they give us, like, Cody should have said the reason at the press conference. He should have said,
I don't think they have
said
yet.
You told me this, and it's clear that that was BS. So I'm choosing Roman. And that's what they should have done. And I don't think we have this conversation. Like, I don't think you still have that confusion. Again, I like my idea because, you know, I'm biased. I think my idea is great. You know, but again, my idea being great and then it being the actual plan are two different things. So, again, to believe that was the actual plan from the start, I don't think is I can't buy that yet. But I will give them, and I just said I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I will give them a chance to, like you, sometimes you say, let it play out, right? So it's February 11th as we record this, and we are 2 months away from WrestleMania. So, and again, 6 days or what, 5 days from now, Rock and Roman will be on SmackDown. So I can't imagine Cody not being there. So I wonder if we'll get another, you know, promo with both sides and we'll see what comes of that. But I think they eventually have to explain why Cody gave it up in the first place to make everything make sense. And maybe there's a reason they haven't yet because they don't know how to get there. And they're trying to figure that out to not make him look like a geek. But at this point, yeah, where does Seth Rollins fit into this? Because he was there, and I understand why, because he was the other champion. But that's not the title Cody needs. I don't want them to pivot to that.
But
there's no
reason
for that.
So, again, wrote a column about this day after it happened, and I asked many questions. One of them was, is The Rock a heel? I didn't know about the tweet. I don't know when he put that tweet out.
This was literally just 12 hours ago.
Okay, so that's before
that specific tweet about the misinformation of the guy saying, oh, they're chanting Maui at The Rock and stuff like that. And then he responded to that.
Gotcha. Well, as of that writing, I didn't know that. That was, you know, that's obviously something that happened after the fact. So I asked, was he a heel? Okay, apparently he is, by his own admission. Another question.
So this was 11 hours ago. He posted this at 1:42 a.m. earlier today.
Oh man, where the hell was he?
This was the original tweet from a Nick Sortor.
I thought he was gonna say from a Nick Pacone.
I wouldn't tweet something this stupid, right? I got San Francisco fans to make fun of.
Oh man,
you know, seen on Tucker Carlson, Fox News, Newsmax, so you know where this is going.
Okay.
The crowd in Vegas boos The Rock, demanding he follow through with aid for Maui. And he says the crowd, this is footage of The Rock at the Vegas press conference.
So wait, wait a second. Were fans chanting Maui at him?
No, they were not.
So this guy's lying.
He is lying. And
what? So this guy saw The Rock standing on stage and getting booed and just said they want money for Maui.
Right.
I don't remember him getting booed. I don't remember Maui.
He got community noted fairly quickly. The reason the crowd booed was because The Rock was portraying a heel wrestler.
This was during
the WWE live event where they were discussing WrestleMania 40, which will feature The Rock, Cody Rhodes, and Roman Reigns.
That's bizarre. I thought like they actually, I'm like, I don't remember fans chanting that during the event. Okay. And then, because I saw something, I'm like, why did this even come up? Again, I haven't looked into it. So I was like, okay, that sounds kind of wild because he hasn't given money or whatever. Okay. But so this guy just made this up, is what you're saying.
He made up the reason for The Rock being booed.
Right.
It's wild.
This happens a lot on social media, obviously. People are just lying now. And Twitter, I guess to their credit, do community notes things. But like there are people who, before their community note pops up, who see it and they think it's real. So there's somebody out there who thinks The Rock was just getting booed for not giving enough aid or any aid to Maui, whatever the case may be. It's like, damn, bro, like that's clearly not what was happening there. And you just ran with it and thought it was something else. So go ahead, though. I mean,
and obviously The Rock responded. And he says,
because it's blatantly false.
Yeah, this is at 1:42 a.m. earlier today. So literally, as of our recording, almost 12 hours ago. I typically refrain from responding to toxic, false clickbait garbage like this because I hate dignifying BS with a response, but he types out.
Understandable.
But when you use Hawaii's tragic events to draw attention to yourself, I won't stay quiet.
100%.
This moment you're referring to is from our WWE press conference this past Thursday, where I turned heel. Wrestling parlance for bad guy. I'm playing it up with our crowd as they boo. It's what we do in our WWE universe, and we love every second of it. And he also does mention, for the record, our People's Fund of Maui has already delivered over $50 million to over 8,000 survivors who were affected by the fires. And I'm grateful to the bone that we've been the primary funders. And he also adds more context to that. So if you do want to, you know, it's a lot of characters. If you want to see that, it's at The Rock. It's his latest tweet on Twitter/X. So he responded to that. And yeah, it's a crazy thing to have to respond to, but
and the thing is, there's no recourse. There's no like consequence, and that guy won't respond to The Rock. He won't. Yeah, he'll just be quiet and just do it again somewhere else.
To his, I'm not gonna say credit, but he did respond. I care about the people. This is from Nick Sortor. I care about the people of Maui deeply. I have spent many of nights at this point literally camping with newly homeless folks living on the side of the road outside Lahaina. And I'm doing that again tonight. What these people need is for this story to get back to the news cycle, and I'm hell-bent on doing that. So he's basically...
But that has nothing to do with the hell The Rock was talking about. You can just tweet that on your own, brother.
Exactly. And he's trying now... he did it as a clickbait thing to get the attention, and
The
Rock responded to it. So now he's kind of latching off The Rock's response to be like, okay, let's bring this to the headlines again. And it's like just the way he went about it.
That's slimy. Yeah, so I don't like that.
The fact that in The Rock's response, like he mentions, I turned heel, you know, that's kind of where it comes from, where The Rock is now a heel in a wrestling story, but this is like real life that happened.
And I understand that The Rock felt the need to defend himself because this was blatantly false and it was egregiously a lie.
Terrible.
But he, like he said, he usually don't dignify it, but he did dignify it because this guy gets the attention that he ordered. Because of it. So that's terrible. I didn't know. Yeah, I was unaware of that. I didn't know the guy.
If I
just
wasn't
made
on
it up.
Twitter, if I didn't see it on Twitter this morning, I wouldn't have known either.
That's unbelievable.
This, so
this is babyface The Rock again.
Right? Yeah, it's like he turned heel Thursday, but now he's a babyface
baby
right now.
On Sunday, because you're defending
so
himself.
He's getting the main event again because he's like, okay, like you can have it.
Blatantly false allegations levied against him. That's wild. At least in this. But using that video as in that context is, come on, bro. We're working in bad faith. That's nasty work right there.
It is.
Honestly, that's dirty macking. come on, bro. We can't do that. But, okay, The Rock is a heel. We know that now. The Rock has admitted that. But as you mentioned earlier, Seth Rollins is on that stage.
Yeah.
What the hell does he have to do with any of this?
Well, Cody could have theoretically picked him, so he's got to be there, right?
But will he be involved in this moving forward, though? Would there be like a four-way of some sort? Will there be a tag team match, player?
Big E mentioned that first and foremost, by the way.
But, yeah, so like, it's. I will say this: as convoluted and as confusing. Like I wrote in my column, I said, is this intriguing? Yes. Is this confusing? Also, yes. Like it's both.
That's a great line.
It's very intriguing. Yes. Like I'm more intrigued now than what I was a week ago, especially in The Rock in particular, because he's a heel. He hasn't been a heel, at least in wrestling, in 20 years. What he's really good at being a heel. Like people forget. Yeah, he's the people's champ, but The Rock is great as a heel. When he before his first WrestleMania main event, which also took place in Philly, big heel, even though he's getting cheered at that point by a segment of the audience. But of course, Hollywood Rock, some of the best moments of his career came as Hollywood Rock. So, and when he, you know, let the fame go to his head and he became a jerk to everybody. I love the stuff with Hulk Hogan when Hulk Hogan's talking to the screen. He's like, oh, you just get to the part where you Hulk up and you go, and rackle, 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 and let's go. Come on. And he said, and action. The Rock was, no pun intended, he was cooking Hulk Hogan. He was cooking him. But yeah, so. I forget what my point was now. All of a sudden, I'm just saying The Rock is good at being
Seth,
a heel.
Where does Seth fit in? Yeah. Rock and heel. I don't. A lot of people still think there's going to be a tag match in Perth. I don't think. No, I think that's Rhea's spotlight. I think that's the women's chamber spotlight.
I agree with you, but yeah. They don't have to be the main event.
Yeah, but that's going to take the most attention.
That's a big match, though.
Yeah, exactly, they do a tag team match
with The Rock.
I think they
could
do that before WrestleMania. You know, why? Not necessarily on a Raw or SmackDown. They could either maybe do an exclusive event on Peacock from Madison Square Garden. I don't know. Like, you know, something like that. But I just don't know if that's going to happen. But I also don't want Seth to be involved because I think I would love to see Drew just win the title and go on a run because he's so good right now, and I want to see that. So,
but you still got
Gunther. I don't want them. There's no reason for Seth to be involved now. I mean, there is because of how he ended the press conference, like yelling at The Rock, like I don't care if you're on the board or not, blah blah blah. Like, so they have that, but I don't. It's a Cody Roman Rock thing at this point for me.
We also have a new two-man power trip, apparently, between The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
That's the way it's looking, at least. Also, we have we got rid of Vince, but we have a new heel authority figure in The Rock, potentially. Because he's, like you said, Seth Rollins has mentioned that he was on the board. And, just because you're on the board doesn't mean you can do this and do that. Yeah, and
the triple
they might use that as part of his character, that the fact that he's on TKO's board, which is a real-life thing, that he's actually on the board.
They've already potentially played into it.
Right, and use that as him. Right, and he goes, you know, I do this. I run this. It's my show.
Right?
Triple H and The Rock still beefing after 20 years. 20-plus years. The rivalry that will never end. From SummerSlam 98 to Backlash 2000 to WrestleMania 40. They're going to get the WrestleMania match they should have had back in 2000 and 2024. Yeah. No, but Triple H ain't wrestling anytime soon. But regardless, though, he's using his power to get what he wants type deal. And yeah, it won't extend as far as like, where Vince was like wielding that power over the whole roster and lording over it, you know, back in the Attitude Era. But and maybe it's just for his, you know, The Rock's own personal gain. But it's still a heel-ish authority figure, which, look, I'm glad we don't have those in abundance like we used to. I'm glad Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce don't interfere and stuff like that. They just kind of, again, make it an even playing field for the wrestlers, and they just make match announcements and stuff like that. But it is again, I'm gonna use this word again, intriguing wrinkle to The Rock's character, and you're taking things that happen that are reality and using it and blending it into the story. So again, I'm interested in it. I still don't think this was the original plan, but I'm interested in this potentially new plan.
Is it possible they had more than one plan and they're just like, let's see how the audience reacts and let's,
I guess
we'll pivot this way if this happens this way.
I guess it's possible.
Like,
I guess it's possible.
Again, giving them a lot of credit for doing that.
That'd be a lot of credit. But I mean, look, The Rock also has his own production company. Maybe they pitched in on a creative. I don't know.
It's possible.
Obviously, Brian Gewirtz is like his main writer. He's a former WWE employee, member of the writing team. So he has some creative help that he comes with, and maybe he can lend a helping hand. Look, if they came up with multiple branching paths, I'd be impressed.
Me too.
Because usually the only path
that suggests that they have the track record of doing that.
No, at least we're also basing that off of 30 plus years of Vince McMahon, and he was the only path.
That's true.
Right? There was no branching off. It was what he wanted. But if they came up with branching, like a story, like branching storyline, like a video game or like a choose your own scare Goosebumps book. Remember those back in the day? And I cheated all the time.
I never read them, but I had them because they had the thing. You could feel it. Like, cool covers.
For one, Goosebumps books, that's not easy to say, were dope in general. But the choose your own scare where you can like make a choice. You got to you go up the steps and you turn to page 44. But if you go down to up to the attic or something like that, go to a different path. You got to turn to now page 58 because something else is happening. Nice. So I would always cheat though, because there were times where you would die.
Oh, no.
You hit that page and it's like, you have reached the end, my friend. And it's like, oh no. Turn back to page 17. That's the other choice. Okay. Oh, I'm still alive here. All right, dope. Like, I'm gonna keep reading now. Yeah, those are dope. If WWE did their own version of that, I'd be impressed. But we don't know that to be true.
But again, like, then it would, for me, I would be here for a Rock-Roman match no matter what. But, like, I do like the idea of building up the family history first on TV rather than, this is what happened at the 2015 Rumble. And then, Rock episode, I said that.
But Roman Reigns has built up the family history for 3 years. Like, with his guys. But, like, we've been knowing about this Anna Wye family, how great it is.
They're two separate families.
That's true.
So,
but we've been hearing about this family for 3 years because of the bloodline. Like, it's not like they've ignored it, and it's only, the bloodline is only in reference to the people on screen. Like, Roman Reigns talked about what his heritage is and who his lineage includes. We all know that too. It's not like people are unaware. That's why the Rock Roman Reigns match was, anticipated to begin with, because we knew they were related. Already, we know who the Usos' dad is. We know who their uncles are and the cousins and all that. We know that they got people outside of WWE who aren't even in WWE, like Jacob Fatu and Lance Anawai, who could be additions to WWE's roster in the near future if that were to happen. So people are aware. This isn't like they had to be re-educated. I mean, I do understand, like, when you're doing like a kickoff event like this, you might have a couple more mainstream eyeballs than you normally would, or you got The Rock involved. So maybe from that kickoff event standpoint, you do kind of illustrate, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But like on a week to week, you don't have to do that. We already know. We got it.
Well, it will not be week to week, because I doubt we're going to see Roman or Rock every week.
We don't see Roman or The Rock.
they show up once a month. You definitely can string it out to WrestleMania 41. And that's kind of where I'm thinking will be the path. Obviously, I could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before and I'm going to be wrong again. But coming from that angle and the story of, Roman's the head of the table type thing, and I think it's also a better story to tell without a title involved, a championship title involved, because
I agree.
To that family, that means everything. The head of the table. So you tell that, and then you obviously play into, like, if Cody wins and The Rock's like, well, I'm gonna get that title back, but Cody beats him, that Then you, I don't necessarily know if Roman costs Rock the title. I don't know where they could go with that. But it, to me, that's more interesting than just The Rock coming in and them doing a main event, you know, just because. To me, that's what it felt like. And again, I would have been here for the match no matter what. Just because I'm like, well, they could still tell a story. It's not like they can't tell a good story with 3 months, but it's like, for that particular match, I just don't think that's good enough. I don't think a 3 month arc for that match is good enough. I'm not necessarily saying for the audience, but for them, you know, like The Rock coming back for that. And then what happens after WrestleMania? Like, is he just here or is he like back and forth or is he just going away again? Like,
it's not like it's a foreign thing that WWE has done with parachute somebody in for a couple months and then they leave and they disappear. That's
Goldberg.
That's literally why we call them part-timers. Like, you know, this happened before. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, it wouldn't make any sense to like just drop him in and take him out. But like, they've done that so many times. The Undertaker did it for years. He extended his career like 8 years by doing that.
Yeah.
But Brock Lesnar pretty much did. He'll come in periodically and he show up more around WrestleMania time, and after WrestleMania, he gets this long vacation. You won't see him until SummerSlam.
Right. And you're right. And I don't know, based off what The Rock said, and obviously it could be all BS, like he could just be saying things to say, but I just don't think he comes in for like a 3 month build to a WrestleMania main event. Like, why not tell a better story and a bigger story, a longer story, that when you eventually get to Roman versus Rock, I think it might have more juice, you know, like, and I don't necessarily think the setting is a huge deal, but like, does Rock and Roman in Vegas feel bigger than Rock and Roman in Philly? Probably, right? You're on mute.
I'm sorry. I feel like if they were going to announce Vegas for next year, they would have did it Thursday, right? Like, that would have been time, you would think.
But then, like, if you
could do it, it's still in the future.
Your end game is Rock and Roman. Do you just wait? Like, I don't know. That's a good point too. Like, Mark Henry Jr. yesterday on the Tough Cover said because they didn't announce Vegas, it makes him believe they'll go to Minnesota next year. And I'm just like, The Rock and Roman in Minnesota is not a thing I want to see. Like, I just think Vegas, like, the venue will make it bigger than, like, I don't know.
I don't think so, man. You put that match on Mars, people are going to watch it. Rock and Roman Reigns. I don't think the venue matter. I mean, it would have made sense if it was in like LA last year because The Rock is Hollywood,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
That would have, but I don't think it would have made it bigger as much as it would have been more fitting, right? But you put the match in Minneapolis, you put it in Minnetonka. It don't matter, bro. Put it on Lake Minnetonka if you want to. You can put it in Topeka, Kansas. You can put it in, I don't know, name a small town. Boise, Idaho.
Topeka, Kansas.
They can put it in North Dakota State. North Dakota State, like indoor football stadium thing that they have. That's a lot of those teams, those FCF schools have like indoor facilities because it's terrible weather up there, obviously. You can put it in there where the Bison play, where Carson Wentz used to throw passes and Jordan Love used to throw passes. And it would be a sellout in North Dakota. North Dakota be popping. They'd run out of hotels so fast. All right. So it don't matter to me. I don't think the venue matters. I don't think they consider that like WrestleMania. Also, WrestleMania 40 is the 40th WrestleMania. I feel like The Rock would care about that more than you care about where it is.
I don't know.
That's just my opinion.
I'm not convinced.
I don't know
I'm not convinced. Yeah, I'm not convinced. Because, like, I do think that, like, all right, Vegas or Philly? Like, the great spots, obviously, we're biased, but.
Vegas, but, like.
I don't know. Vegas is Vegas. They never had a WrestleMania there, so.
Yes, they have. Well, in Vegas, yeah, they had WrestleMania 9 there.
You count.
Yeah. This is the first Super Bowl in Vegas this year.
I don't count that. They didn't even play up the Vegas thing. They played up Caesar's Palace.
Which is in Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
That's the casino in Vegas.
We should.
Big casino.
Well, hey, listen. Who won the main event? Like, Yokozuna beat Bret Hart. I know Hogan came in and stole the thunder, but
The Rock almost did.
How about that? Hey, how about that? So that's good, actually. I totally forgot that WrestleMania 9 was in Vegas. Yeah. I forget, like, Caesar's Palace was in Vegas that year. But listen, like, nobody's going to remember that.
No, you're right. No.
That's one of the WrestleManias people try to forget. That and 11, you know?
No, I like the look of WrestleMania 9. I should say that. Yeah, I wouldn't say I try to forget it. The look and the aesthetics of WrestleMania 9 are probably some of the best of all time. I feel like we've talked about this.
Last year WrestleMania 9 definitely is up there. Last year was probably my favorite big stage yet.
I don't think they're going to have, if they go to Vegas next year, I don't think they're going to have a Caesar's Palace theme. So
bummer.
That might be that's going to be the last time. Don't expect an update to that, you know, if they go there again. But Minnesota, maybe they'll use
palace. They could build a palace in the stadium. And like recreate it.
Or just have them come out of dice. Like one kind of dice and casino chips. But yeah. I'm still wondering what they're going to do this year for WrestleMania. I'm sure the Liberty Bell will be involved in some way, shape, or form.
I'm sure.
Maybe they'll have a cheesesteak up there or something. I don't know. Soft pretzel. Water ice.
Yeah.
But definitely the Liberty Bell will be involved in some way, shape, or form. They might just build a bell. Who knows?
That's my first thought, that it would be like a bell type entrance. So.
Like an actual bell.
Yeah.
Not the one at Citizens Bank Park. It's going to be at the Link. So different. Yeah. But
they'll ring the bell, though.
After Cody
finishes his story.
Yeah, and everybody can be happy.
Do you think if they do Cody and Roman that Cody's going to win this year?
Yes.
Me too. There's a lot of people that think they care about that beating Hogan streak. I don't think they give a crap about that.
I don't know why they would, honestly. I mean, I guess... So here's the thing about Hogan. He's the longest reigning champion of the modern era.
Yeah.
So, and they consider the modern era to be from Hogan's era, from 80, right. Yeah. You know, 85 or whatever to now. So, yeah, that's the meaning it could have, is that, oh, he's the longest running champion of the modern era. But like, other than that, who gives a damn? He's not even the longest reigning champion.
The modern era after the Attitude Era. And then he could still say Roman Reigns is the champion of the modern era.
But they consider the modern era Vince era, pretty much when Vince McMahon bought the company and took it national. So,
well, they could change. They can, they can change it. They could. They can change it.
Yeah, I don't think they would though.
I don't either. But like, you know, I don't want to.
I don't think they. But I don't think they care enough. Neither. I don't think.
You just can't have Cody lose, man.
I don't think so. Neither. I think you put him on the cover of the video game. You had this outrage just to get him in the match. The hashtag people get their lives threatened, you know, because they want their guy in there, which I don't condone whatsoever.
That's stupid. Like, what? And it happens way too often.
Fervor,
especially like online, it's so stupid. Just don't do that stuff.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But when you have a fervor around this guy, it's already kind of blown up in your face. Don't do that twice. We had with Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. The fans were upset. They had to change course, and they won. You don't triple down on it. I think Cody has to win. This whole finish the story stuff. People want to see this happen,
and you can't string it out to SummerSlam. It's got to be now. It's got to be.
People want to see it finished. People want to see it end, and people want to get that satisfying outcome. And
they haven't had a satisfying outcome for a year. KO and Sammy winning the tag titles last year. That's like the only satisfying outcome they've had.
Right.
Since then.
And people want that. And I think they need that tonal shift anyway. I think the Bloodline story is kind of, unless they make a major shift in the story, which they kind of have with The Rock now. But I think people kind of like, all right, let's get to something else here. Let's see a new side to Roman Reigns. Let's see the tribal chief after a loss and how he reacts. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yes.
Honestly, we've seen him win for multiple years, and he's been as dominant can be. He's had help, obviously, along the way. But let's see the tribal chief go through some real adversity. How does his fragile ego handle a loss to Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania?
And that's why I think you can eventually get that sympathy behind him and not it be like the 2015 Roman Reigns. Mm. It'll be the 2024 Roman. Sympathy. Well, him eventually, just like not, Roman not right Reigns. Away. Not right away. Like,
but I think people just like months. Roman Reigns. I don't think they're gonna feel bad for him.
Well,
I don't think that's I don't think that's the way to go. Yeah, I guess. I see what you're saying.
That's but what I mean just by don't. That.
I just don't want it to be like, oh, poor Roman. It's like, no, he's lording over the company for 3 right. years. He's right. using his family to do his bidding. Like, it's not like, oh, poor guy. Like, no, yeah, I understand what you're saying. We turn him, but like, it don't have to be like a Dustin Rhodes turning on, or what was it, Virgil turning on Ted DiBiase type deal. I said Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah. Well, he was in the match, so like, I
that's true.
But I think. The way you can tell that, and this is me fantasy booking, you can have people start to believe that damn, I had it. Like 2 minutes ago, I had it. Now I'm trying to remember. Roman was manipulated by The Rock the way the Usos were manipulated by Roman. And then you
manipulative family, man.
Right. And you now we're past like all the Roman and Uso stuff. The Usos followed suit. And then Jay was eventually like, all right, I'm out. So you have that. But really, it wasn't Roman the manipulator. It was Rock the manipulator the whole time. We just don't know it until we see it. And then that's how you get the sympathy behind Roman. Like, damn. That sucks for him. And you just, I don't know how you can do that, right? As of February 11th, 2024, I don't know how you do that, but I think it's a way to get the crowd behind Roman eventually for that match.
I see what you're saying, you know, because to me, I'm like, I don't want Roman Reigns to get sunned. But
right.
if it means that people want him to become the tribal chief for real, mm-hmm. then I could get behind that, but I think there's a way to do it without.
That's got to be the story for that.
Yeah,
for that right.
They got to do it without making Roman Reigns seem like a chump.
Right.
At the very least.
Agreed.
At the very least. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up for episode 386, Mr. McComb?
Like, as you can tell, this obviously the Vince lawsuit stuff is not going away, but we will talk about that as more information drops. You know, every episode on here. With the Cody Rock Roman stuff, you know, WrestleMania is coming to Philly. We are heavily invested in that. So we will, you know, hopefully the stories going into it are good. You know, you had Bayley and Io, which was a total like second thought, but that'll be good. You know, I like that story. It was an evolution type thing, which is cool. Bayley knowing that. You know, they were talking crap about her behind her back because she knows Japanese. That whole thing, that was a nice little wrinkle. So,
yeah, didn't make her look stupid.
Right. And seeing Bayley winning at WrestleMania would be a great moment as well. So I hope they go that route. So a lot of cool stories heading into this WrestleMania in Philly. So I'm looking forward to talking more about that the next 2 months.
Yeah, we're on our way, man. We're on our way. The calendar has turned to February. Your boy just turned 35 a couple days ago.
Belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So it's that time, man. Obviously, we got Elimination Chamber coming up and that's still in February, right? It's not March.
2 weeks.
A couple weeks, yeah. So we'll be talking about that and everything else surrounding
February
WrestleMania.
24th, so. And we will be waking up as that event is ending in Australia. So I'm not waking up at 5
a.m. I forgot about that. It's on like 3 a.m. or something like that, right?
Yeah. So I'll watch it, you know, when I wake up or later that day. So
Lord, have mercy. But somebody's going to be up watching it live. I know that for a fact. So
yeah.
We'll TBD on whether that will be me, but we'll see. But let's wrap it up here for episode 386. Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
You can follow me at _Picone on Twitter/X. Follow us at Shooters Radio on the same platform and on Facebook at facebook.com/Shooters Radio. Check this podcast out and other podcasts from Fox Sports The Gambler at foxphlgambler.com.
There we go. There we go. Are we on the site yet? Are we lifted?
Yeah, we on there. Yep.
Nice. Nice.
I got to get the Wrestling Roundtable link up there, but the Straight Shooters is up there as well.
Let's go. All right. So go check us out, please. You can check me out at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. You can also find me out here in the streets. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/theshooters. Was it Shooters Radio again? I almost said the old URL. Patreon.com/ShootersRadio.
Shooters Radio sounds better, doesn't it, folks?
It does. It's easier off the tongue, too. Patreon.com/ShootersRadio. You can subscribe to some exclusive content, or you can request a future deep dive. All you got to do is head over to Patreon and put in your request. Doesn't have to be a wrestling pay-per-view like we've traditionally done. It can be a wrestling-related TV show or movie. We're going to do more wrestling-related movies for sure, okay? Got to do Suburban Commando at some point. We're going to be on it. So is it Suburban Commando or Suburban? What's the one with Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando? Okay, I don't know why I second-guessed myself. That's one where Undertaker makes the cameo, right?
It's for people outside of the city not wearing underwear.
My God. We're going to do it,
though.
Undertaker
is in there, yes.
Okay, I thought I saw that recently. Undertaker make that cameo in the movie. But we want to talk about it. You want us to talk about it? Head over to patreon.com/shootersradio. Put in your request. We will fulfill it. And you can make a cameo on the show that we're talking about. So again, patreon.com/shootersradio. But for Nick Bacone, I am Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening to episode 386 of The Straight Shooters. We'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.